We're going to be in Revelation this morning, chapter 12, the happy chapter. Last week we talked about a battle happening, and the battle was where? Did anybody remember?
Heaven.
The battle was in heaven. We thought, wow, that's not great. Battles are happening in heaven, but we saw that in chapter 12, verse 7. And what happened during the battle? Yeah, Satan was tossed down or cast out was the word there. And it's a word used in many different ways and places. He was cast down. So we'll start in verse 7, and then we're going to take a little bit of a deviation this morning and talk about something that I think ties in, but it's probably a little deviation from what we would normally do. Now there arose a war in heaven. Excuse me. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, and the deceiver of the whole world. So what did we learn about Satan?
Deceiver of the whole world.
He's a liar, like Jesus said from the beginning. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So what else do we learn about Satan? Not only is he a liar, he's a deceiver, an accuser. We've learned a lot about him and his character and his nature. Let's go back again and read that. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Why would the announcement of the power and salvation and authority of Christ be announced in heaven at a similar time in which the accuser has been thrown down? When are we talking about here? It's a question. Let's set a time frame. When is this happening? Maybe before you answer, you can think about when was salvation, or when did salvation come?
At the cross.
Okay. When did the kingdom of our God come? When did the kingdom arrive? When Jesus came, yeah. Remember, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. When Jesus came, when the king came, is when the kingdom arrived. And when was authority given to Jesus? Do we remember Jesus talking about authority in his life?
All authority in heaven.
Yeah. That's right. The Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So when Jesus came, he announced his kingdom, he announced his authority, and he announced that that his salvation has come. Remember when he got up and read the scroll in the synagogue, and he read from Isaiah, and he said, this has been fulfilled before you, that salvation has come. So during Jesus' life, all of these things are announced, and they're proclaimed, and they are given. So this is a time in which now a voice in heaven is being announced that salvation, kingdom and authority of Christ have come. I hope that we recognize in our day and in our studies that when Jesus came, he brought with him great things. We're going to be singing a song this morning in church called You Have Done Great Things. Now, this is another instance of Jesus bringing great things, salvation. He's bringing his kingdom, which is his rule and his reign. He's bringing salvation, he's bringing his rule and his reign, and he's bringing his authority when he comes. And this is what he's done for us. So he's done great things for us. And these things are now with us. Verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. They've conquered the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What did we sing last week? A song called Overcome. And remember what the bridge says? We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We sang that last week. I hope y'all remembered that as we sang it. So here we sing songs here in our church regularly of Revelation chapter 12, and you may not have even known it. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. I hope that is a thought that we can state as well. Speaking of those who were persecuted, this specifically, of course, John speaking of those who were persecuted, again, going back to the souls under the altar who were persecuted, a reoccurring theme here, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and sea. For the devil has come down to you in great wrath. Why? Because he knows that his time is short. And I think another way we could say that is because he knows that his days are numbered. Because he knows his days are numbered. His time is short. Yes?
I'm confused. Okay, this battle is taking place in heaven. Okay, he gets kicked out.
Yeah.
So is this before, in time with creation, is this before the creation, or this is after the fact that he's gone back and he's kicked out for a second time?
Yeah, good question. And I'll answer that by giving you what I think is going on here.
Okay.
And there's probably some, there are probably different opinions, like most things, but... It appears that, as we talked about, I think we talked about last week, in Job, even in the Old Testament, we see Satan going before the throne of God. You know, Satan's in heaven, and he's going to, and the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" So, in some sense, we know during the Old Testament times that Satan would go before the throne of God.
Okay.
Here, it appears we're having him cast out. Could this be a final and ultimate casting out in which Satan and his angels are no longer allowed to come before the throne? In the Old Testament, we have the idea that's, at least in Job, is given to us that all the hosts of heaven would gather around the throne and there would be some sort of communication going on. The Lord's telling Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And it's like there's a gathering. And it could be that this is a final casting out of Satan and the demons, and it says his angels down out from heaven for good.
Right.
It could be that's happened. And it appears that is happening at a time when there's an announcement of Jesus bringing salvation, of his kingdom coming to earth, and of the, what was the other one? His kingdom and his authority being given to Jesus on earth. So it appears that this happens after, like you had said, was it before time? I would say probably not.
Okay.
It sounds like that it's happening somewhere in the time of when Jesus is coming. And then we have Jesus being tempted by Satan at the in the garden, and that encounter there. So it could be sometime in there, but there it seems to be sometime like that, because the kingdom is announced, the authority is announced, salvation is proclaimed, which appears to be at the time when Jesus came. Now, another thing that I could add to that is it appears, reading through the New Testament, that there's a lot of demonic activity going on there. When Jesus is casting out demons and performing miracles, it appears that there's some sort of battle going on there. And when it says that that he's sent down with great rage because his time is his days are numbered, it could be alluding to the time of all this spiritual battle that's going on between Jesus and the devil throughout his life, and demons being cast out of people and those sorts of things. So that's my thought, initial thought.
Well,
After study, yep.
Well, I've been studying on that too, and another twist to that, which I read some of what you're saying, there's some of these folks are speculating anyway, this occurred after the cross because he shed his blood. And when he came in back sitting at the throne, they went to war against Jesus, and that's when the war occurred.
Okay.
And it sent them back. Because right there when you're saying that the blood of the Lamb, they've been conquered by Jesus shed blood. Now that's just I read.
And that's all reason, but I think that's the time frame in which this is talking about, whether it's pre-cross or after cross or something. This is John giving us visions.
Right.
These are signs that he's giving us. So what I think we need to see here is, most importantly, that we see the character of Satan. If we don't have an exact time frame, and that may not be the thrust of the story, kind of like in Jesus' parables when he gives us stories,
right.
Every detail, the point is the purpose of the story. It's not necessarily about every detail on every story. And I think what we're seeing here is that there is a battle, that that Satan is defeated, and he's cast down out of heaven at God's authority, that we know that he's a deceiver, that we know that he is one who is accusing, and then he brings accusation, and we're going to talk about that accusation a little bit more this morning and take a diversion here. So I think those are some of the main things we need to see, is that that the Lord does cast Satan down in his authority, that Satan is in a fit of rage because of what has happened, and he is going to continue deceiving and accusing. David?
I mean, we sing about it, we talk about it, that death doesn't rain on us because of what Jesus did at the cross.
Right.
I would think that'd be, that not necessarily saying proof, but it definitely says that death doesn't rain on us. We're his children.
That is a great point, and that's one of the passages of Scripture I want to draw us to today. And I did a little bit of searching based on this passage. John chapter 12, verse 31 and 32 is an interesting verse, and I want to throw it out to you and see how does this apply. Now, Jesus several times throughout his ministry, and especially in John, by the same author here, talks about the accuser and talks about Satan, and says that he's a liar from the beginning. You are of your father, the devil. Remember that conversation that he had in chapter 8? In chapter 12, he says this: now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world would be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from earth, will draw all people to myself. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Notice the way that Jesus titles Satan. He's talking about Satan here, the ruler of this world. It's an interesting title. And so this morning I want to spend a little bit of time looking at the accuser. I've got a couple of articles, one by John Piper, one by R.C. Sproul. Sorry, y'all. I'm talking about the accuser. And this is a question that, if y'all ever listen to Ask Pastor John, he's got some really good questions on Desiring God. He's got a podcast. Some really good questions. One of them is this, and this was a question that I had this week as I was studying. What legitimate authority does Satan have over this world? If Jesus called him the ruler of this world, what authority, if any, does Satan have over this world? So when we're living today, in what sense does Satan have authority in this world? Now, this is on the heels of Jesus, remember, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In what sense does Satan have any authority over this world? David.
Something you said, you were saying about the heavenly places, and it kind of drove me to Ephesians 6:12. I mean, if I want to pull it up, I'm going to talk about just exactly what you're saying there. And it's kind of, that's been in my whole mind the whole time you've been sitting here saying about, well, there was a battle in heaven and everything else.
Yeah.
That's what it brings to me right now.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There is a battle, and it is a battle of authorities and powers.
So in, if you look at the NASB version, it says against the world forces of darkness. So I kind of like
against the what?
World forces of darkness.
Interesting. Non-carnal.
I mean, there's a lot of authorities out there. It's not the authority. There's a lot of truths out there. It's not the truth.
Right. Yep, there are a lot of, and that's a great...
There's not the God.
Yeah, yeah. And this is kind of what we're talking about this year on our Truth in 2020. So there is a sense... So I'll ask again the question, what authority does Satan have? Michelle, with your thought, is there are a lot of things proclaimed out there that aren't necessarily true, but they're proclaimed as truth. They're proclaimed as gods, but they're not gods. They're proclaimed as authorities. So what are we battling then? Are we battling in this world? Why would Jesus call Satan the God of this world? The authority, the ruler of this world. Why would he call him the ruler of this world?
Sin is kind of dominating the world that we live in. So the author of the Satan's behind that.
Yeah. You're very right. So you got the authority or the power of sin working in among things. Trinell?
I tried to study that chapter, yeah. But I went to work on the wrong tactic, and it gave me a nightmare.
Oh, no. You got nightmares, huh?
That's funny.
Well, remember, when Jesus was before Pilate, this is something that I think is an important passage of Scripture that maybe sometimes we forget. When Jesus is before Pilate, and he says, "So you are a king," and Jesus says, what? It is as you say, but my kingdom is not of this world. So what I want to maybe talk about is that there is a kingdom that is not Jesus's kingdom. I think we all can understand that. And it's the kingdom that dominates this world. And when Jesus says the ruler of this world, or the ruler of this kingdom will be cast out. There are battles that are going on here, and that in some way, Satan, because of sin and the authority of sin, has dominated the world apart from Jesus. And when Jesus came, things changed. And now he is shedding light upon a darkened kingdom and bringing light to the kingdom. I don't know if y'all remember the video that I showed from the Bible Project where we had little pockets of kingdom when Jesus goes around and he preaches and he's carving out little spaces out of the darkness and bringing light into those. And that's, I think, a pretty good illustration for us to understand that there's light being shed and that we as kingdom people are shedding light on a darkened world that is dominated by the thoughts, Michelle, by the authorities, by the proclaimed truths or professed truths of a dark world. And when we come and we share the truth and the light, there's conflict. And y'all know as well as I do, when we share principles of the kingdom, they're not taken well by the kingdom of darkness. No. When you proclaim Jesus, it's not taken well. When you proclaim a biblical model of sexuality, it's not taken well. When you proclaim a biblical model of generosity or giving or a biblical model of marriage, it's not taken well in this kingdom that we have. So back to the question that was given in Desiring God. What legitimate authority does Satan have over this world?
Authority given to him by God.
Only what's delegated. All right, here's this question from Aaron in Texas. Hello, Pastor John, in Matthew 4:9 and in Luke 4:6. What authority is Satan talking about? Is he lying that he has authority to give? Now, this was the temptation of Jesus, Matthew 4 and Luke 4. The temptation of Jesus when he says, if you bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. I remember the temptation. Right. Is he lying about authority that he has? or does he truly have authority over earth? If so, what is it? And how does this relate to God's complete sovereignty over all things? And so Pastor John, he goes back and he looks at the temptations. All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. He looks at those temptations, and he goes into power by permission. And that's exactly what Jimmy's alluding to, is that it's a delegated authority that Satan has been given. It is not an ultimate authority. Think of the parable of the vineyard. Do you remember the parable of the vineyard, where the king comes, or the man has a vineyard, and he gives authority over his vineyard while he goes away on a trip? And then he goes back and he says, hey, I want some of my profits. And then the steward in the vineyard, he torments the messenger who came to get what from the master. And he ends up sending another messenger, and he ends up sending his son, and he kills his son and says, because I can have the vineyard if I kill his son. And that was a parable that Jesus told about the kingdom and about Israel, that there had been bad leadership had been given over God's people, even God's people. And when Jesus came to, the son came to get his people, they killed him because they didn't want to give authority back. And if you're familiar with the story or the books, Tolkien's books, The Lord of the Rings, that's the story of Return of the King is the name of the third book. When the king comes back, and there's a steward over the kingdom. And the steward's a wicked steward, and he's doing bad things. And the king is coming back. He doesn't want to give up the kingdom. And he fights the king, who's coming back to be the rightful ruler of his kingdom.
Well, I mean, something else too is, if you think about when they're on the boat going across the sea, Jesus is sleeping, the storm's going around, everybody's freaking out, and he's sleeping because he knows, you know, who the Lord is who controls all that.
That's good.
You know, the picture I think of is that storm outside, and he's resting.
He's at perfect peace, right?
All right.
Here are some other titles of the what he gives to the devil. The whole world, or other verses about the devil and his power. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one, or under the control. Thinking about the not people who are not in the kingdom of God, but people who are in the kingdom of the world. John tells us in 1 John that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Ephesians 2. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the kingdom of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, or the prince of this world, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience.
That was one that we thought of.
Yeah.
Before you got to it. That was also, I think, 1 through 10 was something we learned early on, memorized.
Yeah. Yep. And that's one that I think of when you think of people who are salvation, yeah, coming from the power of, or coming from one kingdom to another. Ephesians 2 is right there. Also, 2 Corinthians 4 is another one I think of. The God of this world, blinding the minds of unbelievers. Jesus in John 14, I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He called him again the ruler of the world. In chapter 12, he said the ruler is going to be cast out. Now he says the ruler of this world is coming, and he's speaking of Judas is coming. Or say, remember, the Bible says Satan entered Judas, and then Judas is coming to betray him. So he's specifically speaking about Satan there. John 16:11, as Satan comes to Jesus in his final hours, Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And that's in John 16. The ruler of this world will be cast out. In Luke 22, Jesus says, talking about the religious leaders, he says, this is your hour and the hour, or and the power of darkness. The hour of the power of darkness. This is a verse I'm going to be talking about in my message this morning too, but it goes well here too. It's from Colossians chapter 2. And you who were dead in your trespasses, very similar, Jason, to Ephesians 2. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses, hear this, by canceling the record of the debt that stood against us with its legal demands. And then he says, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So this is what Colossians tells us, that he disarmed the rulers and authorities of this world by triumphing over them in Christ. So, what authority does Satan have in this world? Do we see the power and the effect of Satan in this world today?
Absolutely.
Yes, we do. We see Satan has an authority in this world. But, like John said, and if we think like John thinks, we think back to, and the light shines in the darkness, but what?
Darkness
has not overcome it. Darkness cannot comprehend it, or the darkness has not overcome it because the light has power over darkness. Remember that my old illustration? I love it. There's no such thing as a flash dark. There's only a flash light, because the light has more power than the darkness. But this is talking about eschatology here, and when you look at a post-millennial eschatology, which I know we discussed weeks ago, the post-millennial idea, which is not far from the amillennial idea, in fact they were one and the same until some distinctions were made, but the post-millennial idea is that when Jesus came, he brought his kingdom, and that kingdom continues to expand all over the earth. Light is being shown now in all places over the earth, and the light is being cast through the evangelism, and the kingdom is spreading throughout the earth because of an evangelistic effort by the church to spread kingdom goodness and kingdom truth, I should say, kingdom truth throughout the world until finally and ultimately Jesus returns. So that falls in line with what the post-millennial would say, which is the idea kind of that we're talking about here, that there is still darkness in this world and there is still the influence of the evil one, but it is not a full influence, and it's being overcome in pockets by the kingdom of God spreading from starting in just a small area, spreading throughout the whole world. I think there's truth in that.
That's why I can't remember what scriptures is, but that's why we need to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, because we are the light. We have been given God's Spirit, so now that's what we do. We show people the so-called ruler of sin. He's trying to deceive us, but now we have that authority to expose that sin to them. And many Christians I talk to on the internet, a lot of them I see struggles. They keep forgetting the real power within themselves. We have been given that authority through the Holy Spirit over Satan. Satan does not dominate us. And a lot of people get in that mindset, and that's what they start thinking. But you know, Keith hit on this in Hebrews when he started a year ago, 2 years ago. Greater is He who is in you than he who is of this world. So we have that authority.
Yeah.
So we should not let, you know, sin, Satan, and all the darkness really do a rope of dope on us. You know, we shouldn't think that way. You know, with the scripture verse, you know, we need to take those thoughts captive, because we know where the real power lies. Power lies within the Word. Jesus used the Word against them in the first place.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to jump real quick when you just show that little scripture, John 12:31. You know, I just saw it, and I just kind of was a little amused to it. Here's Jesus already. He's alluding to Revelation 12:9.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's telling everybody already what's fixing to happen.
I agree. Let me close out this morning, and we'll continue on that. I hope that's something that, a truth that sits with us. Let me close with Ephesians chapter 4, which Jimmy just alluded to, and send you out on that. No. It's chapter 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, impure, or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. So here we're getting into this ideas, truth in 2020. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And I'll stop right there. So, church, I'll say this. You are children of light. Go be children of light.
Yeah.
As Jesus called us, we are the light of the world. Satan may have authority. Satan may have professed truths and professed false gods, but he does not have ultimate authority. We are children of the light. He has no power over light. So go be flashlights in the world of darkness. Let me pray for you. Lord, help us to be children of light. Help us to know that Satan is on a leash and he has limited dominion that is given by you, Lord, and that you, all authority, has been given in heaven and earth to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us to be children of light and to expose the deeds of darkness, not to live in them, not to unite with them, but to know that we are children of light and to live in ways that oppose the powers of this kingdom in this world, that we are children of the kingdom of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.